the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of a vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this, the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The king of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Good morning, everybody. I'm really sorry to spring this on you, but an imaginary dinner party, your house, today at 3 o'clock. I know, I haven't given you much notice, but don't worry, you'll be able to get to the shops. But what I want to know is who you're going to invite to this imaginary dinner party that you're hosting today. Who are you going to invite? It could be anyone. Anyone perhaps from the present day or throughout all of history. After all, it's your imaginary dinner party. Who would you like to be there? Who would you like to sit down with at your dining room table? Who's it going to be? Well, Belmont, I'd like you to forget Harry Styles, Pep Guardiola, David Attenborough, Matt Baker. I'd like you to forget Taylor Swift, Olivia Colman, Dame Judi Dench, Mary Berry and Laura Koonsberg. However potentially exciting and exhilarating this imaginary dinner party might well have been, I've got something real for you this morning. I've got a meal with Jesus at your dining room table. Are you interested? You are? Great. Well, there's a place at the table for you. Hi, everyone. My name is Simon. I'm one of the leaders here at the church. Thank you so much for tuning in and being with us this morning. What I'm going to do is take us through the next in our series, Life with Jesus. And our title this morning is Life with Jesus Simply. And it doesn't get more simple than this. I have in front of me at my dining room table, I've got here a bread and I've got wine. And we're going to be breaking this and pouring this later on. Now, everybody is after simplicity. Right now, we live in a cultural moment in which people are potentially even obsessed with finding a simple life. There's a whole philosophy out there of minimalism, which is effectively jettisoning and getting rid of any unnecessary object in your life such that you've pared things down so that you don't have so much clutter and noise and distractions in your life. Everybody is after the simple and focused life right now. And I think what we're going to talk about this morning speaks straight into that. We're going to talk about Jesus celebrating a meal with his brothers and sisters over bread and wine. A really simple thing, not overly complicated, but simple. Now, as I'm speaking this morning, you might want to keep in your mind your dining room table. I'm at mine now. If you've perhaps forgotten what your dining room table looks like, you could quickly jump up, run out of the room and go and take a look at your dining room table and then come back. But I want you to keep that in your mind, your dining room table. Now, the scene that's in front of me is very similar to the one that Lucy has just showed us and that Lucy has read to us about from Luke chapter 22. And what I'd like you to do this morning is just to keep your Bibles open at Luke chapter 22. That would be really, really helpful, because when the Bible speaks, God speaks. So we need to keep this book open this morning. Now, you'll notice if you have a look down, we're in Luke chapter 22. And I want to turn our attention first to verse 14. Jesus is sat, he's reclined even, at an ordinary table. That's where he is. And guess what? Verse 15, he's been eagerly desiring to eat this meal with his disciples. That was true for them then, and it's true for us now. Jesus wants to meet with his disciples over this meal. And that's as true today as it ever was. And the way Jesus is going to do that is he is going to tell a story. And this story reaches back into the deep past. And it looks forward into the far future. In fact, you could just say this is the story. All that's summed up here in this meal of bread and wine is the great story. It's the only story that really matters. It's the story that at the end of the day, we all need to find ourselves in. We need to orient our lives around this story, the big story, the story that really matters. A quote for the grown-ups. Peter Lighthart says this, "The Lord's Supper is the world in miniature." He says it has cosmic significance. Within it, we find the clues to the meaning of all creation and history, to the nature of God and the nature of man, and to the mystery of the world, which is Christ. Now, I've mentioned here already this morning what we call this meal. You might well know it as communion, or the Lord's Supper, or perhaps the breaking of bread. Now, what we are going to take a look at this morning is that same meal, but Jesus, when he starts it, he calls it something very different. I wondered if you spotted that there in Luke 22. Jesus has a name for this meal, and the name he's going to use is a name from the deep past. I wonder, do you know it? Jesus gives this name five times in the passage that we have in front of us, and it's Passover. So if you want to know something about communion and bread and wine, you need to know something about Passover. The first Passover meal was eaten the night before the Exodus. The first Passover meal was eaten on that night before the chains were broken and the slaves were freed by God forever to head towards a good and pleasant land. And here's how it worked. Here's how the first Passover worked. Every Israelite home had to kill a lamb. Every Israelite home had to take some of the blood of that lamb and paint it over their doors. And when they did that, that would ensure that their home, that their house would be protected. The Lord would pass over that house and make sure they were safe. But to any house that didn't have the blood of the Lamb over the doors of the house, death would touch that house. And after they had killed the lamb, they would roast it and eat it together with bread. They would have this meal immediately before they were going to be brought out from slavery. Well, that night the Lord did pass over every Israelite home, and every Egyptian home was touched with death. And so the people were prepared to head out and be free and head towards that good and pleasant land. And so that as they left, they knew that the Passover lamb had rescued them from slavery and brought them into freedom. That's what Passover is all about. Now, if you and I were heading out to buy our shopping for a Passover meal, right at the top of our ingredients list would be, you're right, a lamb. And Jesus calls this meal here that we have Passover. But I wonder, what do you think's missing from the way he describes this meal? What do you think's missing from this meal? Why doesn't it look like Passover? What's missing? Can you spot it? Well, at first glance, it looks like the lamb is missing. It's not mentioned at all. Jesus has called this meal Passover, and there isn't even a lamb. What's going on? Well, I think it's made really clear by what Jesus does next. He and his disciples are sat together around their dining room table, and here's what Jesus does and says next. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks for it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." That's the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus is so clearly talking about his body given and his blood shed, his body broken and his blood poured out. He's saying that he's the lamb. He's saying that he's the Passover lamb. This meal starts by looking back into the deep past and seeing that Jesus is the Passover lamb. But it's not just a meal that looks back, it's a meal that looks to the far future. Did you spot that? In verses 16 and 18, Jesus says, "I will not eat of it again." That's this meal. "I will not eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And then he says the same thing about the wine. He says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." As Jesus ate there with his disciples, he was looking forward to a meal, not a meager meal, a bare table with just bread and wine in the middle. He was looking forward to a big feast that he described as the kingdom of God. He was looking forward to a banquet, a full table, eating together with his people. And that's how Jesus viewed the very end of time. Well, this is a meal that reaches back to the deep past and looks forward to the far future. But importantly for us in the here and now, it's for the right now, for today. For this isn't simply the Last Supper, but the first of many. Jesus is going to celebrate a similar meal to this a few days after his death and his resurrection. He's going to be with two disciples a little way out of Jerusalem, and they're going to have this same meal, the first of many more. Now, when we're thinking of this meal, you might be thinking of the church building. It's hard not to picture the church building as we come to this meal. You can probably picture the table that we usually use and the cups and the plates that we usually use. But throughout, I've been asking you to think of your house and your home and your dining room table. In Jerusalem, after Jesus had died, been raised and ascended into heaven, his followers would break bread in their homes. And that's Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. They would break bread in their homes. And the strange thing about the time we live in now is that we are having to rely upon our homes for the beginnings of church life more and more. And it seems, if anything, we're going back to the New Testament and back to those first believers in Acts. As things open up after lockdown more and more, there'll be opportunity not just to meet and share communion over Zoom, but in person. We'll perhaps be able to do that in our home group or with other believers that we know, in parks, in gardens, at our own dining room table. For Jesus said, verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that's our challenge today. In whatever circumstances we find ourselves, how are we going to do this in remembrance of him? Now, you'll have noticed in focus over the last few weeks a note from the care team offering their help and support if you would like to take communion at home and that's not been possible for you, perhaps because of shielding thus far, or perhaps even just being too frail to leave. Do get in contact with us so that we can be taking communion in our homes. But if you are fit, well, and that's possible for you, I would like you to just think about, how are you going to do this in remembrance of Jesus? Well, as we come to a close here, we're going to sing again in just a minute, but I would like to pray for us. And as I do that, I want to use two bits of scripture from the Old Testament. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And then from the New Testament, our verses in Acts. "They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." Lord Jesus, we ask for your help and your encouragement as we meet together and share bread and wine. We are sad that we've not been able to do this as much or as frequently as we usually do. We thank you and we're reminded of the joy that it is to taste and see of your great goodness. And we thank you for feeding us when we do this with the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray, to live with Jesus simply and regularly over bread and wine. For his glory we pray. Amen.